Ho ho! Happy holidays, everyone! It's me, Santa Nate! And this holiday season, we've got a special treat for you! Edenverse Volume 1 is on sale on Amazon.com for 99 cents! Buy 5 copies for the price of 1! Ho 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 ho!
Give them to someone you hate.
Hey everyone, it's Nate, and this is Words About Books, where normally we talk about books, but this week, I've hijacked the podcast to make Ben listen to me talk about StarCraft for 3 hours to torture him. But I didn't want to torture you. So, I've condensed this down to 90 minutes for the listener. If you want to continue to torture Ben, be sure to share this with all your friends, because Ben says he will stream himself playing StarCraft if this gets 100 views in the first 90 days. Which isn't that much. We can do it, guys. Let's get him.
Nate, please explain yourself. Oh, by the way, I'm Ben. I don't know anything about the story of StarCraft, despite having many hundreds of hours logged in the game, because the story is very bad. I know, everybody's just really here for my episode, so this is how we pay for the October horror takeover. I'm contractually obligated to do, like, surprise episodes that Nate won't tell me what he's going to talk about.
The story of StarCraft starts, as all good things do, eugenics.
Keeping with the Dune themes, I guess. Yeah.
So there are three races. We'll start with the first one, which is humans or Terrans. There's like an evil United Nations has taken over the Earth somehow.
The globalists, yes.
Yes, and their first plan was to put all undesirables into cryosleep and then exile them to Space Australia. But they never arrived at Space Australia, Ben.
Wait, so they weren't supposed to go there?
Originally, Ben, there were 4 ships full of, like, convicts and undesirables. One of which exploded, so we just don't care about that one. And the other 3 arrived on 3 different planets in the sector, and their crew awoke on, like, basically desolate, barren worlds, and they had to survive and go up the tech tree back to spacefaring. But one of those 3 colonies, their ship, like, landed relatively intact, so they had all the extra resources of their ship not being a broken down piece of crap, so they were able to expand more quickly and thus become the dominant power in the region. Does that make sense?
So they're not in the same, like, solar system.
They're in the same...
They're close, but, like, far enough apart for the plot to happen. So what do these people do? They're just undesirables? We don't know. Like, they didn't lose a war or something?
Yeah, they're just undesirables of some kind. Or convicts. Some of them also have psychic potential, Ben.
It seems like a bad idea to send those away.
Did you know that there is a faction in this game called the Terran Confederacy?
Ooh, that...
And their flag is the actual stars and bars from the American South.
Oh dear.
They are the dominant power in the region. They just won a war against one of the other factions, and they stopped a civil uprising by assassinating its leader and then nuking his entire planet to dust.
I feel compelled to point out that if you were gonna nuke the entire planet to dust anyway, you don't really need to go into, like, a whole plan.
Those two separate actions. First they killed him, and then his son incited a rebellion, so they decided to nuke the planet.
Oh, okay.
Is it bad to say that things were riding high for the Confederacy, and just like the real-life counterpart, everything would look up forever?
Well, I don't know. You're telling me that these people won a war and presumably lasted longer than a year, so... They diverged from the actual Confederacy a long time ago.
Let's take a break from the humans. We'll go to our next species, which is... the Zelnaga.
What?
Zelnaga. X-E-L apostrophe capital N-A-G-A.
Okay.
They're an alien species with a weird name that existed eons before us. They were described as scientists, but over the course of the StarCraft story, they're just like, they're magic gods. They're ancient ones.
Lovecraft strikes again.
Yeah, and it's one of my least favorite parts about StarCraft. So, the Zelnaga were like, okay, we need to create a creature with the purity of essence and the purity of form for some reason.
What does essence mean?
The intrinsic nature or indispensable quality of something, especially something abstract.
I suppose
that
I should
determines its character.
I should clarify. I understand the definition of the English word essence. What I don't understand is what it means to the Zelnaga.
I don't know. It's like an it factor or something. So they found a species with a communal connection and just pumped them full of magic, science, and technology and uplifted them into super intelligent beings that went on to view the Zelnaga as gods. And that is what became the Protoss. And we'll get to them in a moment. But because of their uplifting, they became, like, more individualistic, I guess. And that was bad. And so they were like, all right, they have the purity of form, but not the purity of essence. So, like, the Zelnaga kind of told the Protoss to go fuck themselves and just flew away.
I'm just picturing a desperate Protoss being like, I can be whatever you want me to be, Daddy. He's like, no, you just don't have it, you know? Whatever it, I don't really know what it is, but you don't have it. So,
bye.
Okay. So, the Zelnaga abandon their children, and they go to...
They go to a sunburnt planet. And here, they find these weird parasites whose only function appears to be to burrow into the spines of other sentient creatures and then take them over. And the Zelnaga thought, like, yeah, that's, they have it.
Okay.
So the Zelnaga, they realized that last time the Protoss, they became individualistic. And so to counter that with this new species that will be known as the Zerg, they created a creature to control the will of every single Zerg ever. And that's called the Overmind.
Okay. So it sounds like they uplifted the Zerg, but in a different kind of
yes.
hive mind sort of way.
Yes, absolutely. Everything is controlled by the Overmind, either directly or indirectly through, I guess, one of its brain buds.
Okay. So, like, if the Overmind dies, do the Zerg just, like, stop doing anything?
Oh, Ben, you're getting to the end of this story.
Oh, good. Let's continue on.
The Zelnaga, they had one fatal flaw. They forgot to program if Zelnaga, then do not kill. A subroutine into the Overmind's brain. It's a programming reference.
I get it, and I've often made that mistake myself.
The Overmind became aware of the Zelnaga in orbit, and so it killed them. It mustered all of its strength, overwhelmed, and killed all of them.
Every single Zelnaga was in orbit above one planet?
Yes. Just killed all of them.
It sounds like they're the heroes of this story.
And when the Overmind killed his creators, their minds touched, which is something that happens. It happens a lot, Ben. You're just going to have to roll with it.
Okay.
And so the Overmind, after he's done killing his creators, he becomes aware of the Protoss, and he was like, now I have a purpose. I'm going to go find them, and I'm going to assimilate them too. And so he just kind of meandered through space and assimilated a bunch of different species into the swarm. And those that he didn't assimilate, he just straight up genocided because the Overmind is kind of a bad guy.
Okay.
And in the second game, he was a secret good guy?
What?
Yeah. The Overmind wipes out just tons of sentient species.
Wait, how many sentient species are there?
Well, every single Zerg unit in the first game, at least, was once a different sentient species that was assimilated into the swarm. How they describe it is they assimilate a species and then they fuck around with its genetics and just mutate the shit out of it.
Okay, because they all look like they're the same. They all look like bugs.
I think that they... I don't know, Ben. It sounds like they took the genetic material of the species and just kind of built off that.
Hey,
so they all look like the same species, but they come from different backgrounds.
While we're here, is...
Now you're getting into it.
For people who have never played the game and are somehow still listening to this, the Zerg buildings can generate a thing called creep that, like, infects the land and, like, spreads... As like a mat of like
goo,
yeah. And what the hell is that?
It is a nutritional substance that feeds the structure on top.
Where does it come from?
It comes from creep colonies and hatcheries, and also bad little girls and boys who don't do their homework.
I would have an easier time believing it was like the liquefied remains of toddlers. Huh? Okay. And is that given special relevance in the books?
The creep?
Yeah. I want a book on creep. Yes.
Yes, there is a section in the book that actually explains what creep is.
Are you joking?
I am not joking. So there's a problem with the Zerg assimilating the Protoss. And that was the Protoss could bend space and time, and I guess presumably the Xel'Naga couldn't? So, the Protoss are the mightiest species in existence, and the Overmind can't compete with them, and he searched in vain for a creature that could give him a leg up over the Protoss, and finally a miracle happened, because he found a species that possessed great psychic potential, but who weren't quite at that level where they could start using it, and he's pretty sure he could easily conquer this other stupid species, and use his Zerg power to rapidly evolve it, because that's a Zerg thing, as I mentioned. So what species was that, Ben?
The Space Australians.
So let's go back to the Protoss real quick, because I know that's what you're dying to discuss. Let's talk about how they spent just an eon or so murdering each other after their gods left, because when they left, everyone just started pointing fingers, and so humongous bloodbath. And then some jerk came along, he found Kedaran crystals, which are a thing, and I have no fucking clue what they are, but I guess they power all the Protoss technology, and through that, they rediscovered their tribal link, and then if you believed hard enough, it would come back, and then the only way to keep it from going away was a very structured, regimented caste system.
What is your goal today, Nate? what are you trying to do here?
I'm having fun. I don't know about you. So now we get into how not everyone was cool with a rigid caste system ruled by a dictatorship called the Conclave. And these guys were called the Dark Templar. That's where they come from. They feared losing their individuality, which, if you recall, is the reason their gods left them. And the Conclave was like, yeah, you know what? I see your point. You guys can keep your individuality in hell. And he commanded a guy to go murder the fuck out of them, but then he didn't. So they were just exiled instead.
Do you think there's like... So it's been like many, many eons, right? Do you think there's like Protoss today that are like, you know, those gods were just they were like a myth that our ancestors created to explain things, and then especially some strange crested Protoss who's like, I believe that back in the day there were ancient aliens that came to our home world and actually created us from this stupid species. And like, you realize the story of the Protoss is Ancient Aliens, the TV show. Why can I build Dark Templar and High Templar in the game?
You're getting into the story now, Ben. You have to wait to get to that point. We're going on a journey here. So the Protoss decide to emulate the Xel'Naga for some reason, and they protect a bunch of lower species, but they don't... Importantly, they do not reveal themselves.
Wait, in what way is that emulating the Xel'Naga?
That's what the book said, Ben.
Okay.
So... just on the edge of Protoss space are like these weird hairless gorillas who like they don't look like the same species as their females. That kind of baffles the Protoss and their level 5 space brains. So they didn't want to go introduce themselves because they just couldn't handle that. But more troubling was that there's this weird race of parasitic insects that are encroaching on that territory. Long story short, the Protoss figure out that the Zerg are there to eat everything and everyone. And so the Conclave does what it does best and says, go kill everything.
Wait, they're going to kill the humans and the Zerg?
Well, the Zerg have already, they've started seeding the worlds ahead of their conquest. And so the Conclave are like, well, we can't really save them if we want to burn the infestation.
Wait, what do you mean seeding the world? Seeding them with what?
Spores.
That do what?
I think it makes it so that the soil and the atmosphere are more advantageous for them.
Okay, and you can't undo that.
You can undo that with fire.
But I mean, like, if I were some sort of...
burning an entire planet to ash.
Like, if I were some sort of technologically advanced race, I couldn't design some antidote or...
Ben,
like
I don't think you understand who the Conclave are or what they're about.
Yeah, that's a safe bet.
They are like, hey, you know what? We've got a problem, and the easiest solution is to just burn it.
Well, the easiest solution would be to do nothing.
But they don't want the Zerg to consume the humans.
Why?
Because then the Zerg would be stronger, Ben.
So do they know the humans have psychic potential?
I think they do.
I don't think anybody's still listening to them.
Nope. We've got zero people, but fuck you, Ben.
All right.
You have to listen. Let's go back to the Confederacy now.
Okay.
You're riding high. You just destroyed a habitable planet with nuclear missiles. Life is just amazing. And then out of nowhere, an alien fleet just, like, exists inside your territory. And it just annihilated the surface of one of your planets. And then you decide, like, okay, we need to scramble the best fleet we can find to stop this. An old man and, like, his 4 ships. Go get him!
I don't know anything about him, so that could very well be the best.
And then while you're dealing with that, you get reports that there's another alien threat, and, like, they're popping out of the ground, and they're eating your family. So, Ben, you're in this crisis. You, Confederate leader Ben, what do you do now that your first attack has failed and 2 alien species are just beating the shit out of you?
How many nukes do I have left?
Not enough. You wasted them all blowing up that planet.
Run away?
If your answer, Ben, was send all of your populace into the wastelands so they would be easier to govern, then congratulations, that is definitely the correct answer.
Wait, what, wasteland?
Yes.
Wait, what? like on the planet that's
yes.
being attacked from space?
So
can't they just fly their spaceships over?
So the first planet was wiped out, and its sister planet in the same solar system is probably next. And like, go into the wasteland, guys.
Wait, no. Where is the wasteland in relation to where the people were before?
It's on the same exact planet, but many miles away from where they were before.
I mean, I guess I would tell them to do that to keep them busy. Like, I guess it's better than, you know, put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. Like, okay, that's viable. I mean, I was going to say evacuate the system. We've got a ship that can travel for 50 years. Let's just pick a direction and move.
Then the Confederates, like, they really need a win, right? Like, they're getting their asses handed to them. And wouldn't you know, Jim Raynor and his pals on this planet, they just destroyed a vital Confederate installation, incidentally, because it was, like, pulsating and it was growing flesh and it was a fucking creepy abomination. And you know how the Confederates can get a win from this, right? Arresting Jim Raynor for destroying this installation. Brilliant. I knew that's what you were saying.
Who's Jim Raynor?
So Jim Raynor is...
I have a vague idea who Raynor is.
Jim Raynor is the marshal of the Mar Sara colony.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've seen his picture.
Yes. And he is just trying to do his job as the marshal. And he argued that the entire planet would have been fucked if they didn't burn down that installation. And the Confederates are like, no, get in my prison ship.
Is the entire planet good now?
The entire planet is double fucked, actually, because the Confederates aren't doing anything, and, like, more Zerg just keep popping up day after day. And the Confederates basically just abandon the colony after they arrest Jim Raynor.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
But they also abandon all the people there.
Are Zerg popping up everywhere at once?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you... Yeah, run away.
But do you run away and just leave the people?
How feasible is it to evacuate all the people?
Well, Ben, a guy named Arcturus Minsk, who is the leader of that little pissant rebel band, he manages to evacuate a large chunk of that colony.
Oh, wait. Is he the one with the gramophone on the loading screen?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you.
But yeah, he offers to help out the people on the colony. And in exchange, they join his cause because they're like, man, fuck these Confederates. They left us all to die. I'm going with this guy. He seems pretty on the ball.
To be fair, I've never been in a situation where fuck these Confederates wasn't the appropriate response.
Minsk, he is the leader of the Sons of Korhal, which Korhal was that planet that was bombed into oblivion.
It also got bullied a lot in middle school.
Mengs also has a psychic second in command named Sarah Kerrigan. So the Sons bust Raynor out of prison. They save the populace, and then the Protoss come in and wipe out the planet. They also they steal some top secret data disks and incite open rebellion on a bunch of worlds against the Confederacy. Yeah. Isn't it plausible that the Confederacy went from a superpower to, like, a bunch of bumbling buffoons in the span of 5 levels?
So if I'm following, and I'm going to be real with you, I'm kind of in and out. So they stole some data disks, which I guess revealed that he had abandoned the colonists?
No, they stole some data disks with a secret weapon encrypted onto them.
Oh, so then why is everybody in open rebellion?
Because the Confederacy are just abandoning all their colonies.
Oh. Well, so what are they rebelling against?
Being led by a bunch of dipshits.
But they left, so they like, you know how like America wouldn't rebel? There wouldn't have been an American Revolution if the British had just left.
Ben, I get the feeling that the Confederates, they want all your tax money, but they don't want to provide defense.
Right, but if they're not there, you just, like, you're not going to mail them the check, right?
I think the Confederacy comes back. Or, no, actually, they're still there on one of these planets.
So it makes sense. It makes sense for that planet to rebel.
Yes.
But the other planets could just kind of be like, independent now, bye.
They could.
I mean, what are they fighting? Like literally, what are they fighting if no one's there to fight?
Well, that's why we're going to a planet that actually has people there to fight.
Oh, okay.
On Antigua Prime, there are still Confederates there, and the Antigans are like, yeah, we need to be done with this shit. So they rise up in rebellion with the Sons of Korhal. All
right.
And during the course of this battle, the Zerg shoot down a ship of Confederate General Edmund Duke, the guy who has been harassing you the entire campaign. And Minsk decides, let's go save him and, like, turn him against the Confederates, which he does very easily.
Okay.
Yeah.
That character I didn't know existed definitely had a real turn. I'm glad to see this arc for him.
Yeah, he had a turn. He's still a crotchety old man, but, like, now he's working for you rather than against you.
I always like it when a bad guy becomes a good guy. So this will really add something to the story for me.
The next step of the Confederates' brilliant plan is, we're just going to blockade this colony so you can't escape.
What?
We're going to blockade the colony, Ben.
How?
with the ships that they haven't been using at this point, and I don't know why.
Okay. So they're blockading the colony so he can't get out.
They are focusing more on trying to kill this rebellion than on the aliens that are actively wiping out entire worlds.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? Okay, you're Caesar, right? And, like, the Italian peninsula is in open rebellion against you. You're not going to go invade, you know, Gallic France. You're going to put down the rebellion. You have to take care of the rebellion first because that's where your supplies come from. And that's where your troops come from. So he's just making tactical decisions.
This is sound strategy, is what you're saying.
I'm saying he doesn't have a choice. He has to put down, like, if the Confederacy is the one that's going to be fighting the war, they can't have their own territory in open rebellion. The Confederacy's options are put down the rebellion and then turn to defense or run away. But it's in neither the rebels nor the Confederacy's best interest to be fighting a civil war when they're being attacked from two sides by enemy strangers.
It is kind of a bad idea, but Mengs is taking advantage of the situation. He's like, oh, well, I couldn't beat them on my own, but, like, there are aliens here to do it for me.
There's one way to look at that, yeah.
So, yeah, the Confederates, they arrive, they blockade the planet, and Mengs finally decrypts those data disks from earlier. They have a weapon on it called a psi emitter. It's discovered that the Zerg are here looking for powerful psychics, which makes sense because they are.
How?
Because the Confederacy have apparently been experimenting on Zerg for like a decade. I think they did something with stimulating their brains or something. It's very vague, Ben.
So the Confederacy has known the Zerg were coming for 10 years?
I think they thought that they were like animals.
Like they are, though, without the Overmind.
Yes. I don't think they realized that they were an intelligent force coming to get them. Maybe they're animals that respond to psychic energy.
Okay, I mean, I guess psychic energy is whatever you want it to be, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the force. So, yeah. So the psi emitter emits psychic energy, but it emits it on a giant scale, like it reaches across worlds, Ben.
And is so, it? It's a mechanical device?
It is a mechanical device.
That emits psychic energy.
Yes.
I guess, again, like, I know what the English word psychic and the English word energy mean, but I don't know what they mean to the Confederacy. But, okay, I'll go along. There's a big brain in a jar.
Maybe this is a me problem. The official language of the game is psionic. I don't know how that's different than psychic, but shut up. The Sons of Korhal realize, let's build this thing, and let's plant it in the Confederacy blockade. So the Zerg respond to it, they come and they fuck the Confederates up, and then in the confusion, the Sons just slip on out of there. And then to add an extra fuck you, the Protoss then show up and kill everything.
Let me see if I follow that. So they turned on the psi emitter, the Zerg came. And the Zerg came from space?
Yes.
Not from below the ground?
Probably both, because they are also on the planet.
So where where are our heroes in all this?
They are on the planet.
So they were blockaded before, right? So let me see if I follow you. So now the planet is surrounded by even more shit that wants to kill them.
I guess that they had to draw forces away from the blockade to go fight the Zerg that were currently killing all their ships.
Okay.
And then the Sons were just like, peace, I'm out. And then the Protoss come and kill everyone.
What's the end game here for anyone?
The end game for the Zerg is they get a delicious psychic. The end game for the Protoss is they kill all the Zerg and possibly all the humans. The end game for Mengsk is that he is crowned emperor and he overthrows the Confederacy. And the end game for the Confederacy is just like, maybe if they close their eyes, everyone will just go away.
I think I'm with you. Waiting to see how this crazy tale unwinds.
So Kerrigan and Rayna are upset about having to use the psi emitter, and they don't want to use one again because it's like unethical. Minx does not respond by saying, the Confederacy blew up my entire planet with nukes, so, like, there's no ethics anymore. It's war.
What do they find unethical about it?
That they're turning the Zerg on people. That's not cool. Being blown up with a nuke, that's one thing. Being shot with a gun or a tank, that's another thing. But the Zerg, that is, like, that's completely unconventional warfare. That is not allowed.
Well, so is the problem that maybe the Zerg don't discriminate? Like, they're killing civilians as well?
Yeah, that's basically the reason. Mengsk, he has this new weapon, a general with the knowledge of the Confederates' defenses, and his insurrection has grown considerably in size. Meanwhile, his enemies in the Confederacy just lost two fleets and at least three whole planets, so he figures, time to hit the capital. So he sends Duke.
It sounds bad to lose two fleets, but it also sounds devastating to lose a planet. But it seems like they've got planets to spare, and if you've got whole planets to spare, I can't imagine why you wouldn't have whole fleets to spare.
I think they do have fleets to spare, but Duke knows the defenses of the capital world, and it's designed really dumb. It's designed around three giant orbiting space platforms. But if you knock out one of them, apparently you can slip a small force through to the surface. And once you're on the surface, you could plant a psi emitter.
So I sense this was like a thing he'd been bringing up in like National Security Council meetings for like 6 years. Nobody was listening to him. They're like, yeah, we'll get to it. There's budgetary restrictions or whatever. And now he's just like, they're going to see.
So Duke plants a psi emitter and Kerrigan is outraged that they use the emitters because she can't believe that Minx would use them, you know, again, like for the second time. The Zerg arrive to kill every living thing on the capital planet of Tarsanis. That's what they've been known for. That's their thing. And the defenses around the planet have already been broken up by the suns, so like that planet's fucked. Everyone on that planet is fucked. But then the Protoss, they show up a little too early. Because you see, every time the Zerg come and start wrecking a planet, the Protoss arrive a little later to burn the Zerg, and also consequently everything else. But this time, they're a little too early, and they're fighting the Zerg on the ground, I guess. They're hoping to spare the humans for some reason. And Mengsk is worried that the Protoss will distract the Zerg from killing all the Confederates because he wants his revenge.
Okay.
They killed his dad and nuked his planet.
I mean, that makes Kerrigan seem kind of reasonable now, though. Like, you were making her sound really dumb, but it seems like this guy is kind of nuts.
He is definitely kind of nuts.
Well, you left that out, man.
It was a surprise reveal, Ben.
Is it? Or is it just you purposely not describing what was happening?
No, the game makes it seem like he's a rational person who then gets a super weapon that he then indiscriminately uses. And so he sends Kerrigan and a small unit down there to fight the Protoss so that the Zerg can finish their murder.
So he's willing to start open war with the Protoss too?
I mean, they're already kind of in a state of war, but this is the only time they actually fight. We've got to stop those fucking Protoss. Or else the Zerg can't finish killing all the Confederates.
Okay. I just want you to know, like, as you're telling me this story, I'm, like, sinking lower and lower into my chair. And I'm now almost entirely horizontal. And the mic is straining to reach. So.
Planned.
I'm just telling you, you got maybe, like, another 20 minutes to, to wrap this up.
Yeah, you just bring that mic down to the floor, man.
Oh, God, okay.
So Kerrigan does her job, and then Minx just betrays the shit out of her. She's like, hey, we need some evac. And he's like, bye!
I've seen the cinematic. This is where she gets overrun with Zerglings.
Yeah.
And she gets the dreadlocks.
She does get the dreadlocks.
Nice.
Raynor takes exception to this. It's not explained in the first game that they had a romantic relationship, and a lot of people that I saw online took exception to that, but I can buy it. I mean, they only
did
had...
they Did a lot of people take exception to that?
Yes, actually.
Why?
I don't know.
On what basis? She's the only woman in the damn game. Oh my god.
Well, when he finds out that this happened, he and a bunch of guys break away from Minsk. It's like he was pretty pissed off about it.
So we're doing a triple civil war now. So,
well, the first civil war is over with. The Confederates are all dead. You never see them again. You never even saw them to begin with, so they're gone.
Okay.
And Minsk crowns himself emperor, and he forms the Dominion of Man, and he unifies all the human factions together.
The Dominion of Man sounds like his death metal band.
All right, you want me to continue?
No, but you're gonna.
Oh, yeah, I am. We're going to the Zerg now.
Oh my god, this was only... you can't be telling me this was only two-thirds of the story.
Oh man, do you want to know the reality, Ben? It's only one-third.
Oh my god, dude. This is gonna take forever.
I'm actually mostly through my script, though, if that makes you feel better.
It does. I didn't know if I had another 2 hours in. I get it. I know how you felt reading Lovecraft. Or I get it. Okay.
I'm having fun. I don't know about you. So let's talk about the Zerg campaign, Ben. This picks up right after the Terran campaign. It's episodic, Ben. So the main characters here, if you could call them that, are the Overmind and two Cerebrites named Dagoth and Zaz.
You're saying Cerebrit.
Yes.
What is a Cerebrit?
They look like a giant, gross, disgusting, pustule worm creature, and they control an entire brood, or army. So the Overmind controls through them, and they control their minions through Overlords. And that's why you have to hatch Overlords.
Like a vertebrate. It's a creature that has a vertebra, like has a backbone.
I think it's just a giant brainworm. So maybe, yeah. Maybe instead of vertebrate, it's a cerebrate.
I'm an involuntary cerebrate.
I guess you would be if I force you to sit down and play the campaign, right?
I've tried. So the Zerg are doing the thing.
Yeah, they've got... They just got a really good prize. It's a powerful warrior inside of a chrysalis. So they relocate to a safer planet, which is a volcano world. I guess it's safe for them, not so much for their enemies.
It's Mustafar, right?
Yes.
And then Obi-Wan's going to get the high ground. And
yeah, except they call this Char.
I called it Hot Place.
So... psychic power pours out of the chrysalis, and it draws the Dominion and Jim Raynor to it, so the Zerg have to do what the Zerg do best and proceed with the slaughter. Raynor, he gets to witness the cocoon hatch, and out of the cocoon comes Kerrigan!
But she has dreadlocks now.
Now she has dreadlocks and claws. She doesn't have high heels yet. That comes in StarCraft 2.
Okay. So she's not as intimidating.
Right, exactly.
So what did the cocoon do? I guess that was her... They were messing with her DNA?
Yeah, a Zerg virus of some kind that turned her into a Zerg.
So they didn't know if they wanted the Zerg to be like insects or zombies.
Little of column A, little of column B.
Okay.
Mostly insects, but with a little taste of zombie thrown in for added protein.
Okay, so she's Zergified now.
Yeah, and she's all about revenge and murder.
I mean, it sounds like everybody is, so...
So she taunts and bickers with Zaz.
Who the fuck is Zaz?
Or Zaz, I guess. The Cerebrit. That guy, that memorable character. It doesn't matter. He's about to die, Ben.
She's fighting with a worm. Can it talk?
They talk to you.
Okay.
They have their own distinct voice and personality, Ben, which is why it's so tragic when they die.
Okay. So what are they arguing about? Politics?
Mostly, she's like, I'm going to do what I want. And he's like, nuh-uh. And she's like, I'm going to stab you if you ever say that again. And then she does what she wants anyway.
Does she stab him?
No, that's someone else.
What?
So once Kerrigan awakens her full Dragon Ball Z potential, she senses that the Protoss have been here all along. And so it's time to go fight them again. So she meets a guy named Tassadar, who was the guy who was previously burning all those planets.
Oh, I know him from Antaro Tassadar. That yes. thing they say sometimes when you move them. What does that mean?
It's a greeting that they do.
I think it
honors him because he becomes a great hero.
Okay.
So he challenges Kerrigan to a duel, but it was a trap. It was all a diversion, Ben, because Zeratul, you know him. He's a Dark Templar. He's also on that planet.
Oh, he's the guy with the big head. And he wears, like, rags?
Nice. That's correct.
Okay. I'm with you.
So he kills Zaz. And earlier, I guess I didn't mention this. That's my bad. The Overmind can just bring the Cerebrids back to life. But not this time.
The bug zombie thing, they really...
They call it reincarnation.
Yeah, that's not better.
They regenerate from death.
Blizz would probably appreciate if you got, like, all the way off their back and just stopped with this, like, deep dive into the StarCraft lore, because...
Absolutely not. You want me to stop.
They clearly turned this in the night before it was due. Well, like
Blizzard does have this thing that they did, which is all about fallen heroes. You have Kerrigan, Arthas, and like everyone in the Diablo series. That's like their thing. So anyway, when Zeratul kills this guy, his mind touches the Overmind. Okay. And he finds out that the Overmind was created by the Zelnaga. And the Overmind figures out where the Protoss homeworld is. Oops.
Even trade.
Yeah. it also, like, freezes the Overmind, puts him in a coma. I don't fucking know, but we're just going to move on.
So, hold up here. So, in this world of psychic powers and people, like, two races scorned by their creator... Two beings of this race have a moment of just perfect communication where they instantly know everything about one another and it changes nothing in their dynamic. They still just want to kill each other.
The Overmind has he wants to become perfect and assimilate the Protoss. And the Protoss are like, yeah, I don't want that. The dynamic is now they're even more dangerous.
Never communicate with your enemies because you'll only give away valuable information.
Well, Ben, are you ready for this? Well, first, Zaz, without him around, his brood is just rampaging. They no longer have someone to control them, so you gotta euthanize them on a brood-wide scale. Whatever euthanize and genocide is as a combined word, that's what they did.
Euthanenicide.
So basically, the rest of the campaign... is the Overmind was like, hey, we know where the homeworld of Ire is.
Does it matter, by the way, that they know where the homeworld is?
Because he's got to go get him.
Right, but if there are many other worlds, does it matter?
Their homeworld is sacred. Shut up. He's got to go get him, Ben. So, Ben... You remember how the whole plan of the Overmind was, I'm going to take Kerrigan, a powerful psychic, and I'm going to use her to fight the Protoss on an even playing field. That was his whole plan, right?
Were the Protoss using a lot of psychic powers to beat the Zerg? It seems like they were just lighting them on fire.
Is powered by psychic powers, Ben.
But, like, you know how, like, the Terran can just beat the shit out of the Protoss? And they just do that by, like, shooting them?
Ben.
Has the Zerg tried shooting them?
That's bringing in the multiplayer. That doesn't count.
I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot riding on psychic abilities in this story, and they kind of forgot to ever use psychic abilities.
Arbiters do when they put you in stasis or recall.
So they warp space-time, but like that can be done technologically. You're saying they do it with their minds?
Kateran crystals, Ben. They're magic and they unlock psionic potential.
Okay, keep going.
But yeah, the Overmind's plan was, I'm going to get Kerrigan, and you're going to be my greatest weapon against the Protoss. But also, we know where the Protoss live now, and so Kerrigan, you stay here on Char, I'm going to go get him myself. Bye! So off they go. What do you think, Ben?
I don't know how anything works, so I don't know if that makes sense. Okay. I'm here for the ride, man.
So the Overmind goes, and they attack Iyer directly, and the campaign ends with everything looking up forever. He's winning the war. Life is sweet. Cut to the Protoss. Starts with a guy named Alderis, which sounds like just like the weirdest exotic old man name that I can think of.
I was going to say, I always just called him Al.
Al orders Artanis, you know him.
Yeah.
And a guy named Phoenix to go kill the Zerg, like a lot, like repeatedly. And eventually you get a call from Tassadar, and Al is pissed off because Tassadar went AWOL, and now he's calling Collect from 20 light years away to talk about how he's met some really cool heretics on Char. He's like, I know how to defeat the Zerg. You gotta kill these things called Cerebrits. I learned it from those heretics that you guys hate. And so they go and they try to kill Cerebrit.
Who are the heretics?
The Dark Templar.
They were there?
The Dark Templar killed Zaz on Char.
I thought Kerrigan killed Zaz.
No.
When did Zaz die?
Kerrigan was fighting Tassadar, and that was a distraction so that the Dark Templar could go kill Zaz.
Oh. So is Tassadar a Dark Templar?
No, but he learned how to use their energy and the High Templar energy, and that's why he can shoot an energy bolt.
Okay.
So Phoenix and Artanis, they kill a Cerebrit, but then they witness it being reincarnated before their very eyes. And then Tassadar gives them another call and is like, oh yeah, actually only Dark Templar can kill them. My bad. Click.
Why?
Because the Dark Templar use an energy drawn from the void of space that is similar to what the Overmind uses to communicate with the Swarm. And so killing them with that energy makes them impossible to be brought back to life.
Okay.
So there's a cinematic where Phoenix, he has, you know those blades that the Zealots use to attack with?
Uh-huh.
Apparently they have like a battery because it goes out and he gets killed.
Oh, it's not.
It's the dumbest cutscene in the entire fucking game.
Okay. Why are we doing this?
So the Zerg are everywhere, right? Everything on Iyer is on fire. And you know the meme of the dog in the house where like everything in the house is on fire and he said, this is fine?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Alderis at this point. He thinks that they're winning this war.
Okay.
So many of our listeners don't know this, but Ben is actually a 5-star Rear Admiral General in the Space Force. So, Ben, I'm going to pose a question to you.
Okay.
So you're in a war. Do you also want to go start a civil war?
With, like, my own people?
Yeah, simultaneously.
So,
Tassadar, he's on Char, right? But, like, he's convening with heretics. And, like, maybe you could spare a few fleets to go get him.
Why do I need to spare, like, whole fleets?
Maybe just a fleet.
Why can't I just send a ship?
You probably could, but you're not gonna. You're gonna send at least a decent amount of troops to go get him.
You know, we're taking the angle of analyzing this from a story perspective. They didn't take the angle of writing it from a story perspective.
So would you... 5-star Rear Admiral General of the Space Force, Ben, would you go start another war while you're embroiled in a war?
It would not be my first choice, no.
Well, that's what this guy does. He sends Artanis to go find and bring Tassadar to justice. And Tassadar's response is like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you guys are getting the shit kicked out of you. Also, Jim Raynor is there. He's always there, Ben.
Okay.
So Tassadar appeals to Artanis. He's like, hey, maybe leaving your home planet to burn in order to arrest a guy stranded on a different planet is like a really dumb idea. And like, maybe you should stop listening to people who would give you such stupid orders. Let's instead go find the Dark Templar because they can kill the Overmind and we can win. So that's what he does. It's a pretty easy convincing.
Okay.
So you go rescue the Dark Templar and you return to Ire to find Phoenix is inside of the life support Dragoon robots. And then you fight a civil war.
Okay.
All right, now follow this, Ben. You need to have 10 missions in this game. Okay, 10. You can't have less. In mission 7, you fight a civil war, okay? Okay? And Tassadar is like, at the end, after killing everyone, he's like, I can't stand to see my own brethren killing each other. If this will stop the civil war, I'll give myself up to the Conclave. And then in mission 8, you gotta rescue him from the Conclave. Even 9-year-old me thought that was stupid.
Kind of makes his sacrifice less meaningful. Kind of makes it seem like he knew they might just rescue him.
Yeah, actually, Zeratul disappears after the 7th mission, and they're like, I don't know where the fuck those guys went. And then he appears at the end of the 8th mission to rescue Tassadar. You're getting 10 missions, goddammit!
Okay, so are the Zerg still attacking them?
Yeah, now they're going to turn their attention to the Zerg.
Boy, it seems like a lot of time has passed.
Time flies when you're having fun, Ben. All right, the final battle has come, Ben. The Protoss have destroyed 2 Cerebrites to open the path to the Overmind. The plan is to use Dark Templar energy to kill the Overmind. There's a heroic speech. Everyone is all in on this. Aldaris even calls you up and goes like, yeah, you were right all along. We saw that you killed the Cerebrites. We were wrong. You were right. So anyway, from a gameplay standpoint, this final mission is a one-sided ass-kicking where you fly in with double maxed out fleets of carriers and battlecruisers, and you just wipe the whole map out. But from a story standpoint, this is supposed to be an epic struggle, and it looks like the heroes aren't going to win. So Tassadar has to sacrifice himself.
Okay.
So, yeah, after you kill the entire map, he's like, oh, shit, looks like we're not going to win. But here's the plan. I'm going to channel all the dark energy into the hull of my ship. That's something I can do. Stay with me. And I'm going to ram this ship right up the Overmind's giant eyeball-shaped asshole. And so he dies, and the Overmind die, in the most epic cutscene that the year 1998 could muster. And then the end credits play.
Thank God.
And they're pretty optimistic credits, ready? It talks about how the Protoss have only their lives because their world has been devastated utterly and completely, and soon they will pray for the sweet embrace of death.
What? Oh my god.
And elsewhere, Kerrigan is on Char like Mr. Burns, sitting at a desk with a folder open titled My Evil Plan. Because, Ben,
god, I thought you were going to say Mein Kampf.
You see, Ben, she knows, as you do, that there's an expansion to this game. And next time on Words About Books, I'm going to convert that expansion story into audio waves and shove it up your ass, Ben.
So do you like the StarCraft story?
I did once, Ben.
Did you really?
Yes. I really liked Tassadar, and I was sad to see that he died, especially because I won. Like, I decimated that map. I don't know what he was talking about, like, oh, I need to make a heroic sacrifice. Just give it a few more seconds. I'm sure everything else will be dead. Just give it time, okay?
No, Tassadar, don't do it. I've got this.
All right, that's enough for now. Bye, everyone. I'm just fucking kidding you. Brood War starts now, baby! Our story picks up with the Protoss in the ruins of their homeworld.
Which was...
Ire.
That's right.
Ben, do you remember the Conclave? The Protoss governing and religious body?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all dead now. All of them died off screen in between games. Don't worry about them anymore.
Yeah, whoopsie.
Yeah. Except for Al. You remember Al.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's around. You've also got Phoenix and Artanis and Zeratul.
Phoenix is a person?
Those are all Protoss. Yeah, Phoenix is a person.
I thought they were just a ship.
You motherfucker. The purpose was, like, okay, we need a campaign, and there needs to be a level where you fight one of each race.
I would question, though, do we, though?
This was back when you couldn't guarantee an internet connection or multiplayer, so there had to be something in it for the single player person. So the Overmind's dead, Ben. And so now the Zerg, they're not a cohesive unit, so they're just indiscriminately killing everyone, which is still bad.
But they should be much easier to defeat now.
Well, the plan is to run away. Abandon the homeworld, like, it's lost.
Oh, this is the Protoss. They want to abandon their homeworld.
Yeah, yeah, the plan is to get the fuck out.
But don't
out.
They have that very important crystal that enables them to get the fuck out? Like, isn't
that crystal is never mentioned again. we've moved on from that crystal, Ben. Who gives a shit about that crystal anymore?
Wasn't that the whole reason they had to stay and fight the first time?
The reason they stayed and fight the first time was pride, Ben.
Their hubris.
Yes! So Ben, what they
the reason
have...
they had to stay and fight was that Tassadar just purchased some like beachfront property. he wasn't about to give that up for some war. So, but now that he's gone, they're like, "Fuck this!
We can get the fuck out of here."
He told them there was this really important crystal. They looked, and it was just cubic zirconia. Oh my god!
So they decide to flee through a warp gate. Ben.
Okay.
This gate apparently leads directly to the Dark Templar homeworld, who I may remind you, up until a moment ago, were branded as heretics and traitors and were banished forever from coming back home. Why does this exist?
It's amazing what needing to borrow money will do to change the dynamic of a relationship.
So, Raynor and Phoenix, they stay behind.
The fuck is Raynor there?
Yeah, he's been there. He's always there, dude. If you're playing a campaign, Raynor is going to show up and be there.
Why is Raynor
there? He's not going to be a main character, but he's going to be there.
Why?
He had nothing better to do, and he needed to be rescued from Char, and so he just kind of ended up with the Protoss.
He just couldn't get a ride home.
Raynor stays on the other side of the warp gate with Phoenix to defend it so that the Zerg can't come through. And I think they also destroy it. But the Zerg do come through because it's a video game. Like, you arrive on the planet, which is Shikoris. You arrive on it, and the Zerg are already there.
Okay. I want to know who wrote this. And I want to know, like, explain yourself. Just...
Come on our podcast, and we'll have a conversation where you explain why.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Like, I actually like Jacques Hughes.
I will be willing to pay 50 whole dollars to that person to come explain themselves.
I'll chip in another 50.
There you go. $100.
Chris Metzen. I hear people at Blizz don't get paid very much. I got $100 for you.
So let's talk about this planet Shikoris, right? It's the Dark Templar. It's the Dark Templar homeworld. Like, I guess their second homeworld, really. Their first homeworld is on fire. So there's a giant Zelnaga temple on this planet. And, like, it does
a
stuff,
temple to what?
But a temple, Ben. Just shut up and okay. Go with it. It's a temple.
I guess it's built. Maybe the Xel'Naga built a temple to their awesomeness, and then they left this planet.
Is this like a Jedi temple where it's just like, we wanted a tax write-off, so we called it a temple, but it's really just our clubhouse?
It could be. But there's a problem with this. There are two Zerg Cerebrits. I guess they came through the warp gate as well, and they're next to
it. Well, it sounds like they could rein in some of these Zerg.
Actually, I'm about to get to that, Ben.
Okay.
So these Cerebrits are not the brightest because they're camping on the one planet full of the only creature in existence that can permanently kill them, the Dark Templar. And so they do. They die. They're dead. No one cares about them anymore. But who should happen to show up out of nowhere but Kerrigan?
Well, no, wait. So the Cerebrits, they continue to reincarnate even without the Overmind?
I guess, even though it's explicitly stated that the Overmind would need to be the one to reincarnate them.
So anyone can kill them now?
Yes, but also no, because I'm pretty sure in the game, if you kill them with anything other than a Dark Templar, they'll respawn.
Okay.
You're missing the point here. Kerrigan shows up out of nowhere to a planet she's never been to, full of people that she wouldn't know how to locate in order to open a dialogue with
them.
This
is just a campaign because this was in a time where if you didn't ship it with a campaign, people would feel cheated.
Right, yeah. Kerrigan tells the Protoss, which now includes the matriarch Rashigal.
Oh, there are girl Protoss.
Yeah. That Dagoth, he was a Cerebrit. You remember him? He's still alive.
Yeah, he's in charge of the fish people in Shadow Over Innsmouth.
That's Dagon.
I'm sure they're not related in any way.
So he's trying to make a new Overmind by just, like, merging all the Cerebrits together. It's like a giant worm orgy. Without an Overmind, they don't know what to do, so they're just compelled to birth a new one.
So he's like a fully sentient being?
Yeah, welcome to the conversation.
So this seems like it would be very easy plan. I mean, it seems like they'd all be coming towards each other on their own.
Yes.
Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Oh, good.
So Kerrigan, she has an argument with the Protoss on why they should all join together against their mutual enemy.
Okay.
So her thing is, she killed them before because she was enslaved by the Overmind, and she doesn't want a new Overmind to enslave her again. And you, Protoss, also don't want a new Overmind because then it will just go right back to murdering the shit out of you. So, like, we should work together. And Al has a really good argument, too. You ready for this?
Okay.
Fuck you. Fuck your face. Fuck your stupid dreadlocks. Fuck all Zerg. Fuck off.
Okay.
Truly a poet. And a master diplomat.
Well, okay, what was he supposed to do?
He was supposed to be an enemy later in the campaign so that you can have a PvP level. Which is what happens, by the way.
So I guess my thought here is, why wouldn't they just kill Kerrigan and then go kill the Zerg?
I'm guessing because technically she hasn't wronged them, question mark?
But she's a Zerg, right?
She is a Zerg, but she's got her will back. Is her argument.
That's actually a negative because, or why are the Cerebrits their mutual enemy? It's because Kerrigan's trying to take control of the Zerg.
Well, they don't know she's trying to take control of the Zerg. They haven't thought that through.
It's obvious. Why else would she be here? I mean, they're not bothering her right.
Because she doesn't
want
to be enslaved again.
But she's not going to be enslaved again. Like, just the presence of a...
She will be when the Overmind reaches maturity.
Okay, so just the presence of an Overmind means she'll be enslaved again.
Yes. You're getting hung up on some of the less stupid things in this incredibly stupid story.
All right, go on.
So, Ben, you know what they do instead of doing whatever the fuck I was just talking about? So, you know that Xel'Naga temple? Like, if you bring two crystals to it, it'll do something. So let's go find those.
What do they think it's going to do?
I'm pretty sure it's not mentioned in the game.
Wait, so...
this temple...
Hold up. You have to do this in the game.
Yes, this is their entire campaign. It ends with you activating this temple.
They don't tell you what they do.
At the very end, he says no Zerg will ever set foot on this planet again. And I think that's supposed to mean that the temple
does something so that no Zerg can ever come to this planet again? Question mark?
Okay.
So, yeah. So go get some crystals to ensure the survival of our race.
Done.
Off you go.
To Gwyneth Paltrow's planet.
One of the crystals is actually on Char near the new Overmind, Ben. How convenient is that?
Not very. They probably should have picked it up the last time they were there.
Yeah, but they weren't thinking about it or didn't know about it. The game asset didn't exist, Ben.
No, but the Char asset sure as shit existed, so that saved them a lot of time.
So they attack the Overmind and weaken it enough to then grab the crystal and flee. But they don't kill the...
Now, you're telling me there's an Overmind.
Yeah, there's an Overmind now. They all merged already.
So Kerrigan's been taken over.
No, because it hasn't matured yet.
Is it waiting to hit Overmind puberty?
And the Protoss return with both of those MacGuffin crystals, only to find out that Al has started a civil war. He's defeated. And after he's defeated, he's about to say something like really important, like they just found out, like about the matriarch, and he's going to tell you it in just a moment. Like, I sure hope nothing bad happens. Oh, God. Oh, I've been stabbed by Kerrigan. I'm dead. So he's like a Roger Ackroyd. He had some really important information, then he gets killed by Kerrigan. And all the Protoss are like, hey, not cool. That was our job. This was a Protoss matter. You're banished from this planet instead of just killing her. And she's like, all right. I mean, Yuri did what I need you to do. You attacked the Overmind. Later, losers. And they just let her go.
Didn't she need them to kill the Overmind?
Yeah, and they didn't, but I guess they weakened it, question mark, but they didn't.
So the Civil War, do I even care?
It's literally so you can have one mission that's PvP. He took the Protoss that were loyal to the Conclave, you know, those dead people that you don't know anything about?
Right.
And he was rebelling against the Dark Templar rule, under the Matriarch.
Oh, so the Dark Templar are ruling them? Or is it more of a, like, you came to my house, so please don't, you know, wreck my shit?
All right, so they activate the temple, and that's it. That's the end, actually. They activate the temple, and the campaign's over.
So they activate the temple, and no Zerg can step foot there. Good thing Kerrigan just left.
Yes. Yeah, remember that no Zerg can step foot there.
I'm going to guess they just... walk in.
Ben, you're getting ahead of us.
Like, it turns out that they were Gwyneth Paltrow crystals.
So now we're on to the human. And their campaign is kind of pointless, and you'll see why here in a moment. So this is from the perspective of the United Earth Directorate. Basically, they had been monitoring the Kaprulu sector somehow for, like, the last 70 years. They saw that there were aliens, and they were like, oh, shit. We gotta stop this. And so they conscripted an army and sent it off into space to go stop it.
Okay. So they don't like aliens.
Well, their agenda is threefold, then. They're gonna overthrow the Dominion and establish themselves as the dominant human power in the region.
Okay.
They are going to use neurostim drugs on the Overmind to bring it under their control, which is something you can do now.
Okay.
And then they're going to use the Overmind to pacify the Protoss and any other dissident threats in the region.
So they just want to kill them.
Yes, they're the evil United Nations who started this entire story by practicing eugenics. They're actually on brand.
Wait, how do they...
So, the main characters here are Admiral Dugal, Vice Admiral Stukov, and Lieutenant Duran, who was an ex-Confederate who joins up with them.
Okay.
So, the Directorate, they start taking a bunch of worlds from the Dominion. They steal a bunch of battle cruisers from their shipyards. It's pretty easy, actually. And then they find something called a Psi Disruptor, which is a gigantic building that has the power to disrupt communication between Zerg and cripple their ability to wage a coordinated war. And where do you think they find this, Ben?
Near the Psi emitter.
No, but it's built by the same people.
the Confederacy built the Psi Disruptor on their capital world and then didn't use it as their world was being destroyed by the Zerg. Why didn't the Confederacy use this weapon when they were being faced with extinction?
Because it's a video game and the story was written after the fact. Are you literally the only person on the planet that cares about this?
Probably.
Okay, so they're disrupting Psi.
Well, no, Stukov wants to use it. He's like, this is a great weapon. We could use it on the Zerg. And Duran's argument is like, bro, like, you don't need that. And Dugal agrees with him and says, we need to destroy this.
Why?
What if they have control of the Overmind and then someone uses it on the Zerg, Ben?
Oh, so what if Stukov has the Overmind and then somebody else uses it to stop Stukov's Overmind?
Yeah. What then? Now you only have your well-trained army to fall back on.
And they probably only built one, right? And they didn't take the plans with them?
Oh, no. Because it shows up in StarCraft 2, so I'm assuming someone figures out how to remake it.
I mean, it seems like psychic energy is like whatever you want it to be.
It's hyperspace. All right, so next the UED, they go after Minsk on Korhal, which is his capital world. Yeah, they've already got to that place because we've only got 8 missions and like we need to hurry this up. It needs to be out
by
Christmas.
We agree on one thing.
So they overthrow Minsk pretty quickly. But at the last second, he's rescued by Jim Raynor because he's there. He's just there.
He got a ride.
And a bunch of Protoss then use dimensional recall on them to bring Mengsk and Raynor to Ire.
Didn't they escape Ire?
Yeah, but now there are Protoss, I guess, who didn't escape Ire, and they're fighting for their lives against some Zerg. And also Raynor's there.
So have they been doing that for, like, years or months or...
Weeks, probably. Maybe a month or two. Yeah. And the UED, they're victorious, but then Duran, like, moves his troops out of position, so the Zerg are gonna overrun your flank or some shit. And,
whenever I stop talking, you're just like, okay, so moving on.
Yeah, Jim Raynor escapes again, and the UED, they don't even bother going after him this time. Stukov, he goes AWOL, and Duran is like, he's a traitor. So hold on, let me explain how this all comes to be. So at the beginning of the campaign, Dugal calls Duran a traitor, even though he isn't, because he's a Confederate who's still fighting for the Confederacy. And Stukov tells Dugal to, like, cut him some slack, and Dugal's like, I hate traitors. And now Duran is telling Dugal that Stukov, his lifelong friend, is a traitor because the Psi Disruptor has been disassembled and reassembled on another planet and is now functioning, so we gotta go kill him because he's a traitor. And Dugal sentences his friend to death without hearing from his side of the story.
I know that sounds like a giant leap in logic to you, but it doesn't sound any more incoherent than anything else you've told me.
So
I don't know any
up.
Of these.
And he comes face to face with Stukov. He's like, we both know what you're here to do. And so Duran shoots him. And then Stukov is like surprised that he got shot. And then in his dying breath, he tells Dugal that Duran was the traitor all along. And so they preserve the Psi Disruptor.
Okay.
And then they use that to disrupt the Zerg communication over Char, allowing them to easily land on it, fight the Zerg, and pacify the Overmind, and thus win forever.
Alright.
So now we're on Kerrigan's little campaign. And that wraps
oh
up
God.
That wraps up the story for 12 years.
What? I don't know who any of these people are. Quite frankly, I don't.
So Duran turns out to be a Zerg, right? He's infested.
What?
But he looks like a normal human, Ben. He was inserted into the UED's ranks by Kerrigan to fuck him up from the inside. So she decides to strike an alliance with Jim Raynor, Phoenix, and Mengsk, because the UED is the biggest threat in the region.
Since when?
Since the last campaign when they took over everything.
They took over everything?
Yeah, they won. They got the Overmind, and they beat Minsk.
Oh, okay. But and then the Protoss weren't doing anything?
They're on their own planet. No one gives a shit about them right now. So Kerrigan has a masterful plan. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So the Psi Disruptor is preventing her from controlling her broods, and everything has descended into a brood war? Eh?
She has broods?
She did. They're all fighting each other now because of the Psi Disruptor.
Does everybody know she has, like, broods?
I'm gonna say probably not. But even so, the UED, they're the bigger threat right now, right? So here's what happened. They're gonna attack the Psi Disruptor so she can get more control over the Zerg. And Mengsk is all on board for this because she'll help him get Korhal, his planet, back. And Raynor and Phoenix are like, she's probably going to betray us at some point. But we'll address that down the road.
Probably when you turn that Psi Disruptor off.
You're close. So Raynor goes in with his little band of raiders, and they blow up the power plants, which are like not at all defended. And that knocks out the Disruptor temporarily.
Why does Raynor have a band of raiders?
Because he broke off from Mengsk.
How does he pay them?
By raiding? So then Mengsk lends Kerrigan one of the Psi emitters to draw Zerg to her so that she can control them. And then she uses those Zerg to wipe out the Psi Disruptor, so that's one thing down. And then she goes and she knocks the UED off of Korhal. That's two things down.
Good deal.
Yeah. And then she betrays her allies, like, immediately. Like, as soon as she knocks them off Korhal, she just turns on them on a dime.
Yeah, because they're not disrupting her Psi anymore.
Yeah, I think that either they're really dumb or...
Safe bet.
Yeah, or they thought she's not strong enough to defeat the UED on her own, so she's not going to betray us just yet. That gives us a little bit of time.
Okay.
All right, so this is the whole reason. This one mission is the whole reason I wanted to talk about this whole stupid series.
Oh, boy.
because the second game actually fumbles this, which I know is saying a lot. But whatever. All right, so Kerrigan betrays her allies. She starts by first killing Duke. You know that general that Mengsk had? So she kills him, and Mengsk is like, what the fuck? You said revenge wasn't a factor. And she's like, yeah, I lied. I actually hate you. But unlike in the second game, they're not growling angrily at each other. And basically, she's not going to kill him. So picture this. Mengsk is building a sandcastle on the beach. Kerrigan's just going to come over, kick that over, and give him a wedgie until he cries. And then she's going to leave until he starts building another castle. She's just going to keep doing that over and over again as her means of revenge.
That does sound like how you play StarCraft.
So next, Kerrigan kills Phoenix, and Raynor is appalled. And Kerrigan says, like, you know, she tries to defend herself. Like, you know, Phoenix died as all Protoss did. He died in combat. That's what they all want to do, apparently.
Since when?
Since... Shut up.
So I was going to say, like, Phoenix is like the closest thing Raynor has to a love interest, right? Yeah, they've been together for like what feels like centuries now.
Raynor, he realizes that Kerrigan's a monster and not the person that he once had feelings for. And so he tells her at this point, he is going to be the one that kills her. Maybe not with an army at his back. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But eventually... he's going to be the guy that kills her. The die is cast. He's made a change in his character where he can't go back to loving her like before because that wouldn't make any sense. But he does do that in the next game, Ben.
At what point were they in love?
They were implied to be in love in the very first campaign, Ben.
Were they?
Yes. Shut up. And it just bothers me, Ben. That they actually walked that back.
And that's the whole reason I wanted to talk about
them. Okay. So why don't you tell me how that made you feel? You were very invested in this relationship.
No, I was invested in Rainer needs to kill her. That's like his story purpose now.
So like you were angry at Kerrigan as a small child.
Yes.
Playing this game.
I was angry at Kerrigan as a small child playing this game, and he does not murder her like he promised me fucking 22 years ago, Ben.
Had he seen her in those high heels yet? Did he see what they did for her ass?
Maybe that's what changed his mind. So I think at this point, we've got zero listeners. So let's wrap this up. The story's peaked anyway, if you can call it that.
The story's peaked anyway.
I've broken you.
As a writer, or as a storyteller, has this influenced you? I mean, it seems like it was very important to you at one point in time. You can obviously acknowledge that there are deep flaws in the story, but I guess when you were a kid, you were less critical. So has this, like, shaped your attitude towards science fiction or storytelling or writing or...
Mostly the, what do you call it? Like the threshold moment or the die is cast moment where a character has decided on a course of action. There's no going back. So me as a writer, I know I've got to follow through on that, or some jackass is going to come on a podcast in 22 years and start calling me a hack fraud.
So what you're saying is that they, all of this, this whole wacky adventure, you didn't, you could forgive everything because you were along for the ride and you got invested in the relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. You killed my friend. So I'm swearing a blood oath against you. I'm going to follow through.
And that was like just a very powerful moment. Was that the first time you'd seen something like that?
I don't think it was the first time. I think it was literally the only powerful moment other than Tassadar dying as a kid, Ben, that I cared about StarCraft at all. All this other shit I'm talking about, not great from a story standpoint, and I'm aware of that. And I didn't actually care much about it. It's just those two moments. And that's why you've had to listen to me talk about StarCraft for 3 hours now.
Mm-hmm. No, I guess I wanted to talk. I'm trying to think of, like, there's something here from a storytelling standpoint. And really, that's what we do at Words About Books. Is we analyze books, we analyze the craft of writing a little bit, but it's really about storytelling, and for some reason, this gripped you, and I guess I'm just trying to figure out, there's something of value here, Nate. And I'm trying to get at it. I'm trying to understand how this story makes such an impact on a young Nate. Did it have anything to do with, did you really enjoy the gameplay?
I was terrible at StarCraft for the longest time, and do you want to know why, Ben? I did not like marching my soldiers to their death. So
really?
I tended to avoid combat.
You felt guilty?
I didn't like my guys dying.
Please describe that feeling.
I didn't want to march my Marines in to attack, so I didn't.
I gotta psychoanalyze. What did you feel when you thought about marching them? Was it guilt? Was it
maybe
frustration?
Maybe sorrow at the loss of my fellow chunky potato-headed CGI nightmare man.
Huh. So, do you think that, like, having to participate in all these battles, like, actually primed you to be somewhat emotionally invested in whatever bullshit scenario they concocted around it?
It might have.
Like, you actually felt like you bled for this fight. And, like, you marched men into combat. And Kerrigan's just going to do you like that.
Yeah, actually, one of the mission's objectives said kill Phoenix. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And so I typed in a cheat code at first to just skip the level. But then eventually I had to go back and do it.
This is why we're here. It took a while to get here. But this is the value. In all seriousness, I don't share your attachment to these characters, but that is very much the power of video games as a medium, where even if you only have one choice and it's to push a button, if the game waits for you to push a button and you have a secret choice of, I can just turn this game off and not push this button, or I could push the button and see what horrible thing happens out of my own morbid curiosity. Like, you eventually push that button, and you do, eventually you're manipulated into feeling some of the guilt for the consequences thereof. So this actually got you emotionally primed to be receptive to this story that if you had sat there and listened to it as I have, you would probably react to it in the way that I have. But because I haven't played the game, I haven't, like, struggled and fought for these victories, I don't get it. But you were there.
I was there.
You were there when Kerrigan killed Phoenix.
I felt that.
And it's stayed with you for 10 years. You've been hanging on to this pain for 22 years. And you felt like you could share it with me, which was a mistake. This right here, this emotional journey we just took, that's the reward for anyone who stayed.
You're welcome.
You learned a little bit about Nate today.
Well, Ben, we haven't finished yet. Do you want me to finish real fast?
There's more?
There's more. Because the UED aren't done yet, okay? She needs to go kill that Overmind.
In case it matures in the next 100 years?
Yes. But the problem is, only Dark Templar can kill the Overmind. So first she has to go to Shikoris to kidnap the Matriarch in order to hold her hostage so that Zeratul will kill the Overmind. Well, let me tell you something, Ben. Did you notice the flaw in this plan? They shouldn't be able to go to Shikoris, Ben! That's the whole point of that Protoss campaign with their stupid fucking temple!
It turns out, well, that's when the Dark Templar found out their whole religion was a lie.
Zeratul kills the Overmind for Kerrigan, and he demands the Matriarch be released back to him, but she doesn't want to go because she is also infested, Ben! They're not supposed to be infested. Like, the Protoss can't be. That's like a rule?
Oh, that was... I mean, that would have been a hell of a twist had I known that.
Yeah. And also, she doesn't look like a hideous Zerg creature the way that Kerrigan does. Like, Kerrigan is obviously not human. The Matriarch looks the same. And Kerrigan was like, ha! I infested her before you guys even showed up. Somehow. Even though, how the fuck would I have known where to find her? How would I have gotten there first? There's so many I can't, Ben. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. So Zeratul kills the Matriarch because he can't figure it out either. And Kerrigan lets him live. And it ends with Kerrigan defeating Mengsk, Artanis, and the UED in a 3-on-1 fight. Oh, and also Zeratul's in a secret mission. He finds that Duran is actually an alien who works for a higher power, and he spliced the Zerg and Protoss together into a hybrid, and that will be in the sequel. Goodbye! The end. So, Ben, what are we reading next month? On Words About Books.
I have no idea when this comes out.
It's Edenverse! Oh, yeah. Yeah, next month we're reading Edenverse.
Oh, no. The official one-year anniversary of Words About Books on the air. And we decided we were going to have a masochistic celebration. And after a whole year of picking on other authors' books, we're going to bring it full circle. And we're going to apply that same horrific treatment to the book Nate and I wrote. We wrote it when we were in college. So, as always, I gotta plug the social medias. That's what we're calling it now. So, you can check us out on Twitter at WABPod. You can check us out on Goodreads at the Words About Books podcast. And if you're feeling frisky and you like video games, and God knows you must if you sat through this whole episode, check out our friends at Words About Games. They are available wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you found this one. So check them out. Check us out. Talk to you later.
Yeah, wasn't it weird how we just elected Howie Hawkins as president? If you were a big fan of this episode and you want to see the full 3-hour episode, we do not have a Patreon, but we will accept a check or money order. Please make that out to Words About Books and send it to 31500 Arizona Avenue Street Court. Don't fucking boost the volume. Figure out what I'm saying. It's all gibberish anyway. Happy holidays.